All right, welcome to the Detroit Lions News Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Chapp, along with my co-host, Tyler. Tyler, say hi to the people.
Yo, yo, what's going on, Lions? 8-2 fans, what's up, baby?
And it's a happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Hopefully you stay safe. And if you're going to the bars tonight, don't drink and drive. Don't be an idiot and don't be a clown. So we got a lot to talk about, Tyler, with the Detroit Lions. Obviously, last Sunday, the Detroit Lions went – they played the Chicago Bears. They were at home. That was just a ridiculous game from every standpoint.
No, it was. It was a crazy game. I thought for sure we were gonna lose that game. Yeah, man, we pulled it out. Strangely enough, I keep hearing SOL would lose that game, but Matthew Stafford currently has the most fourth quarter comebacks out of any quarterback in the NFL. So I don't really necessarily believe that statement, but it is nice, especially what I took from this is, and something I'm sure we'll talk about and touch on, but something I really enjoyed is seeing Jared Goff pick himself up after three picks and freaking going down the 2-minute drive and freaking puffing his chest out and winning this game, man. That was huge.
Yeah, I think it says a lot about a quarterback when you can go out and not have your best game at all. Obviously, you want to have your best game, but there's sometimes where you're just not going to have your best game. And then you go out there and you throw three picks. And it's against a team that you should really beat handily. And obviously, you don't have your best game. And you're not – he was coming in that game. I think he had zero picks against the Chicago Bears in like eight meetings.
Yeah.
So, it's you can – every quarterback has that game. You know, it's an indictment of Jared Goff, the quarterback, probably not, but it's more an addictive of that whole team was kind of out of it before the game started. I mean, like you had Jack Campbell missing tackles. You had Brian Branch doing stupid stuff. You had Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta misreading routes. Like, when have you ever seen that? And then the guy who really spearheaded the comeback was your boy, Jameson Williams.
Amo, man, big catch. Big time route, big time catch. The more I see from this kid, man, the more I double down. I mean, I love his attitude. I like his personality. I like him a lot. I'm happy he's starting to come around. It's funny because all the fans are, oh, J-Mo, we love J-Mo. He's so cool. He's such a good guy. He's such a good comedian. Like 4 weeks ago, they were ready to like send this dude to freaking Cleveland. They're ready to send his ass to the shadow realm. So, but you know, I'm not here to brag about like me, you know, liking our first round pick. I mean, he's killing it, man. I wouldn't say, okay, he's not killing it, but he's doing better. He's getting more comfortable. He's getting more acquainted. And I have asked you multiple times, I would like to see a game where J-Mo gets 80% snap share. And that's exactly what happened today. I think he had like 45 or 50 offensive snaps out of 70 or 75. Yeah. So he had like the second highest snaps played on the team, on the offense, I should say, of the skill positions. So first was Amon-Ra, and then second was J-Mo. So that was awesome to see him get a nice feel for the game and get a chance to get comfortable in that. And that's exactly what I was hoping would happen. Like, you know, couple catches, one over the middle, which was amazing, dude. I love that because I really wanted to see him be able to catch over the middle, especially with those linebackers and safeties coming down. Mm-hmm. Thought he was kind of scared to do that for a while. Made an amazing catch over the middle and then took the top off the defense and nice little, 32-yard touchdown. So, no, it was great to see. Still a little bit of an underthrow by Goff. It's going to take time getting used to a guy with, like, breathtaking, game-taking, game-changing speed. You know, hey, even Mahomes underthrew Tyreek from time to time. So that's just something you got to get used to. But, overall, man, good performance by him. And I like to see him out there. He wants to win. When he first came in, I think people got the idea that he was a me guy, kind of more of a diva, kind of wanted to get some stats. He's been really excited to throw some blocks and to be a part of the team and to see them win. So I don't know if it's a little bit of the Lions' culture rubbing off on him or we just had the wrong read on him, probably a little bit of both, but you love to see it.
Well, I think he really enamored himself with the teammates when he made that block against the Chargers. I really think that helps out a lot because I think if you're a wide receiver and you're trying to gain a foot in the offense, especially when you're coming to a team that's just rolling offensively, like they're one of the top 10 offenses in the league, you know, you're not always going to get the ball to start out with. I think that's the main thing. And I think that the way that the Detroit Lions work is if you do your job, you're going to get the ball. it's known throughout the whole team. I mean, we got Reynolds, we got Raymond, we got
No block, no rock, baby.
Right. So they're doing everything that they need to do. And I was happy when Jameson made the catch because number one, he needed something like that as a confidence booster. Number two, I think him and Jared Goff, they needed that connection because obviously it shows that he has a little bit of trust in Jameson Williams because he went to him at such a crucial time. So it's crazy because we won that game last Sunday. We really shouldn't have won the game. I mean, obviously you're not going to say sorry for a win or a loss, but you should have lost the game, to be honest. And the fact that you got that win, you're 8-2 for the first time since – like 1962, 1963. So you're coming into Thanksgiving for the first time. You're in sole possession of first place. You're not tied for first place. You're in sole possession of first place. How big is this game going to be tomorrow for the Lions, especially with like everything that they have riding on and the chance of going 9-2 to start the season? How that's going to be huge for this team.
I mean, so I agree and disagree. I mean, every game's huge, obviously. I think what's big here is that we can still, depending on how the Eagles season goes, you know, we can still catch that number one seed and get home field advantage. I mean, the Eagles are rolling. They're 9-1, and they just had a pretty nice comeback win over the Chiefs. But, see, I'm in a little bit of the opposite end of the boat, too. Like, if we lose this game somehow, I mean, it's not the end of the world because we've set ourselves up. You know, we'll still be 8-3. We'll still be leading the division, which is nice. But obviously, you want to keep this momentum going. I think what's important to your point is that a game like this, good teams don't lose to bad teams that they shouldn't lose to necessarily. I mean, it happens from time to time. But, like, if you want to establish yourself as that upper echelon team and doing those things, you have to beat the teams that you should beat. And we should never have been down like that against the Bears. So, you know, I think that's exactly what the coaching staff and the players are going to be going over and talking about, because if you go down like that against the Niners, against the Eagles, against maybe the Cowboys, you're not going to get that back. And I think they know that. I think they know they got away with one. But what's up, Darcy? But I just know that, you know, you can't get down like that and make those silly mistakes, especially late in the season and, like, near playoffs. So I think it was a wake-up call that they were still able to get the W, but they know they have to be sharp. And I don't know, man. The last few weeks, like Baltimore, this game here against Chicago, it's just – I don't know. It's like Goff is from time to time, and I don't know if he's just being a little bit more aggressive or trying to fit it in a little bit more. It seems like he's strung along a couple bad games here that, you know, we've gotten a couple wins out of besides the Baltimore game. We got absolutely embarrassed, right. But I don't know, man. It's like, I just hope he's able to shake that and kind of get back on track. 'Cause he started out on absolute fire. And I know there's lulls, there's ups and downs in seasons. But even that Ravens game, I was like, man, is there like maybe something he's dealing with injury wise that they're not disclosing, or there's something that he's just going through mentally that they're not disclosing? Because just you know, two out of the last three games, he has looked very, very unsharp. I got faith that he'll get back on track and kind of get it going again. So,
yeah, maybe it's something that, you know, there's the ups and downs of a season.
But you see what I'm talking about, right? I mean, you kind of know.
Yeah, maybe he went through a little ups and downs. I mean, obviously, you would like to see him not go through that. But I think every quarterback goes through that at some point in the season. But, you know, as we look at it tomorrow with the Lions and the Packers, I mean, you look at the defensive side of the ball for the Packers compared to the Lions. I mean, there's a key takeaway right here. If you are a heavy running team, you love to go against the Green Bay Packers. They're 28th in the league in rushing yards against. Passing yards are pretty damn good, but Jari Alexander is questionable, so that's a pretty decent thing. But you look at the third down percentage, they're pretty good. But, you know, you look at the defense compared to each other, I mean, there's not much separate. There's obviously some deficiencies on both sides of the ball, but I mean, with Jordan Love, I don't really expect him to have some big day passing. And Jaden Reed being out of tomorrow's game is going to be huge too.
Yeah, and for all the people that said that Gibbs and Monty were not an upgrade from Swift and Jamal, you just don't know ball. So these dudes are both on pace to get about 1,000 yards each. And so
I mean, your last two games, 46 attempts, 305, five touchdowns. That's two games.
Yeah, that's man.
Two games. So
no, David Montgomery looks really good, man. He's definitely an upgraded version of Jamal. I was really happy with that move by Brad Holmes. And Jameer is finally hitting his stride, dude. Everyone was panicking after three or four games. And it's like, dude, do you know anything? If you know anything about football, I mean, a rookie running back in his first four games, you're not going to be able to tell what he's made of yet. I mean, there's obviously overreactions there. And he's hitting his groove. He's hitting his rhythm. And now what I was complaining about in the beginning of the year is coming to fruition about our rookies and our young guys that are fast and they're getting involved. They're getting acclimated. They're being put into the offense, and this is what I want to see, and it is looking good.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, here's the thing, though. Like, when I look at the offense compared to the Green Bay Packers, I mean, you look at their offense, they're not a really good offensive team. 21st in total yards, 21st in running. They can't run the ball. And the fact that Aaron Jones is out tomorrow, the fact that A.J. Dillon is questionable, he's already hurt. Like, what are they going to do? 19th in passing yards, they're 20th in points. I mean, this is really going to become an arms race tomorrow, because if the Lions can get out to a heavy lead, not just like a touchdown lead, or that maybe they get out to a 10-point lead,
right?
I think that's insurmountable for this Packers team, because they've shown a propensity to not be able to come back from big deficits. We've seen that in the first meeting at Lambeau Field. The Lions got off to a hot start, and they buried them. Basically, the Packers had no shot. And we all know that the Lions kind of – there's this third quarter where they come out kind of lackadaisical once again. And you can't do that, especially against this team.
What's up with Detroit teams in third quarters, man? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. There's always that three-quarter stretch in the game where you got to nut up or shut up. And I agree with you. I think the Packers – I still think that the Packers can be a team that can win and get things done, but they're just not clicking enough right now to be a threat to a team like the Lions. But if they made, a late-season run and were able to get healthy and, maybe sneak into that final seventh seed of the wild card, I wouldn't be totally surprised, just because the NFC is kind of top heavy right now. But I just don't think they have enough to keep up. And I think that with our rushing attack and their poor run defense, this should be a game that we just keep running it down their throats. We've got another primetime game, if you want to call it that. We get Thanksgiving every year.
Yeah, it's basically a primetime game.
But they get, another game to show what they're made of. And they're coming off a short week, but this is probably the healthiest we have been all year. So with only Jonah Jackson out, and I know you had that queued up, because I'm sure you're ready to talk about that. But we have everybody back except, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
You got to love that this team is healthy at this point in the year. Absolutely. Because if you look at the Packers, look at their injury report. Savage out, Jones out, Reed out. You got questionable of Alexander Campbell, AJ Dillon, Ruby Ford, and Dontavian Hicks, which he's a big wide receiver that they could use. But that means that they're going into the game and they're kind of hurt. They're battered, they're bruised. This is nowhere near a healthy team like we see with a lot of teams. The Packers are not healthy right now. I mean, if you watch their practice report all week, they were kind of they had a million guys on the practice report.
Yeah.
So you're healthy. They're not.
And we're at home.
You're at home. You don't have to travel. This is a good shot for the Detroit Lions to kind of get off on the right foot. And if we're being honest with Detroit, Tyler, this is a good chance for the Detroit Lions to actually have a game. Because they haven't had a game in a long time. I mean, you could say maybe Tampa Bay. I don't even consider Las Vegas an A game. I thought that was kind of like a C-minus game. They haven't played an A game since Carolina, maybe since Atlanta. Those were the two A games. But you look at this team, they should be a lot better. Especially at home. I mean, they've kind of struggled. I mean, they like you said, we were talking about Goff with his turnovers. I mean, look at the team now with, you know, with the Raider game. Like, they had the interception. I think they had a fumble. Like, you don't win games like that. You're lucky that Jimmy Garoppolo is kind of soft. But, I mean, I'm just interested what you think. Like, do they need an A game this week? Because when you look towards the schedule, you're going to New Orleans next week. You're going to be playing the Broncos, who they look better than they have all season.
Yeah.
And then you set up your matchups with the Vikings and the Cowboys.
The reason I think we do, and I do agree with you, we're at a point, luckily, where a loss isn't detrimental, but I do think it is, you know, I do think it is important to try to smash these guys and have a game, right? Have an A++ game and just beat their ass. And the reason is because at this point in the year, when you start to kind of get, I kind of want to almost say like a winner's fatigue, right? This last Bears game really tests them, and they went, oh shit, you know, we have to win. We have to kick this into high drive. If we go into a position where we go in and we can kick the shit out of the Packers, it gives us a chance to be able to rest until that following, you know, we get 10 days of rest, which is really nice. And also it gives you some juice, man. It gives you some momentum. You're like, okay, yeah, we're what we need to be. We're what we need to do. You know, we had a really close one with the Bears, which I guarantee most of those players and coaches are more upset of how close it was than they are happy that they won. And that's good. That's culture. That's grit. Because when now, if you can go in there and you can smack absolute piss out of the Packers, you just rejuvenate and you revitalize the second half of your season. And it really just, like I said, it gets you your juice. It gets you going. It keeps you motivated, because now you're thinking, you know, you're just more solidified in what you know that you can do and your talents and your abilities. And then now you kind of carry that a few more weeks. And then you want to have another A++ game near the end of the season, you know, week 15, week 16, week 17, around that time, because you want to be able to carry that momentum into the playoffs. So I think this is a good time, because it knocks off that midseason fatigue. And if we went out there and absolutely just smacked the Packers around, it would help our
Lions need to do what the Red Wings are doing right now. It's fucking the first period and it's 3-0. Oh,
hey, God. Let's go.
Now, the New Jersey Devils, which is a pretty damn good team. So I didn't expect that. But okay, so we look at Goff with his numbers against the Packers, 1,300 yards, 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Passer rating isn't where you want to go. The over-under for him tomorrow is 255.5 yards. He's hit that 5 out of 10 times this season, so if you really want to put a bet down, you could do that.
I kind of almost like the under just – I hate doing over-under on passing yards because you never know with the Lions. But I do think that this is going to be more of a rush heavy game, just because of the way that matchups,
I mean, if you were gonna play this in a parlay or whatever, and you were, because you'll see my parlay later, I'll show that. But if you were to play it in a parlay, I'd put 225 alternate yards.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's the way you want to go.
Because Goff's a guy who could easily get in like the 240s, 230s, and like really like screw up a 255, but like still be efficient, you know, on the ground.
Or he's hit 5 out of 10 times this year. So it's a 50% shot. I mean, you want him that you would love to hit that over, but 255 yards is a lot. And I do agree with you. They're going to pass the ball. I think they're going to run the ball more, but I think he is going to get some passing touchdowns.
Absolutely.
So that's going to happen. But yeah, I would like to see the Lions have an A game tomorrow. I think this is a really good spot to be in. You're at home, short week. It's harder on the Packers to come travel to Detroit than it is you just come, you know, play at home. Right. So this is a huge game from my standpoint, because if you can win this game, you're 9-2. And we know the Eagles' schedule coming up. It's a daunting task. I mean, they're not going to win all those games. So you want to stay just in the inside track of potentially having the number one seed, because if you have the number one seed, there's no one that wants to come play Detroit. No one that wants to come play Detroit. They don't want to come into this Hornets nest. They don't want to come to Ford Field. This is the last place they want to be. I mean, we've seen Detroit hosting playoff games before. Well, it's been a while for some of the teams, but when they're good, when there's a reason to believe, the Pistons have sold out. They were loud. When the Red Wings were good, and even when they're on the cusp of being good, they sell out. That crowd is loud as hell, and teams don't like to come in there. I can only imagine what it is going to be for the Lions, because that's 66,000 people that are going to be like just boozed up and ready to go.
And you're talking about 66,000, 70,000 with standing room, probably 70,000 people that have been waiting, some people their entire lives for a year like this, man. So we're going to, you know, we're going to come in there. We're going to be excited. We're going to, it almost seems surreal to me, man. And, you know, just to think, man, we've got all those receipts, all those people that were doubting Dan Campbell or doubting Brad Holmes or just doubting the team in general. I love this, man. It's so rejuvenating and it's so just refreshing because, man, what a special year. And I still will never forget those first couple pods that we did together. Then we said, hey, man, this is really tough, but it's always meant to be year three or four. Yep. This is a rebuild. We finally did it the right way. We tore it down to the studs. We did some trades. We got rid of some veterans. Like, we did a full, true rebuild, which we needed so badly. And so many teams are scared to do that. But, you know, we suffered through because we didn't want to have another Matt Patricia, another Quinn Trisha failed rebuild. You know, you're tired of these rebuilds after rebuilds, but it was never really a true tear it down and restart rebuild.
Well, I don't think
we finally got it together. And look at us now, man. What is it, Dan Campbell's third year?
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think we've gone through rebuilds before, but I've never believed in my heart of heart that this team had a general manager that could make the picks necessary to get you to a winning product.
It's tough
because
it's a hard league.
It's a hard league, but it's harder if you don't have the right GM, because then you have to lock in the picks. And like, you know, I look at it like this, like, when we saw the Pistons win a championship, we had Joe Dumars, right? Whatever you say about Joe Dumars in the later years, the guy delivered a championship. They almost went to two. They almost went to another NBA championship, and they made these subtle moves like Rasheed Wallace, like trading for Chauncey Billups and trading for Ben Wallace. Like, these subtle moves that Brad Holmes has been doing with the Lions. I mean, you look at a subtle move. Look at Josh Reynolds when they got him from Tennessee on waivers. You look at Cleve Raymond. I mean, that was a guy that no one really expected to be anything, and he's been a huge player to the team pretty much. And then you look at a guy like St. Brown. No one expected a fifth-round pick to be that, you know, like he is right now. Like, that's what I'm talking about. And then you add in a guy like Brian Branch. You add in a guy like Sam Laporta.
Yeah.
I mean, you finally have a general manager that you can believe in.
You accept somebody's trash and Jared Goff, too. Everyone – Like you said, everybody viewed him as a throw-in. Like, no, man, that was our guy.
That's another guy, Jared Goff. I mean, that's a credit to Brad Holmes, because he could have took the pick from Carolina and got that ninth pick. Now you would have Mike Parsons, but you wouldn't have a quarterback, because the last 2 years, who's came out at quarterback? I mean, C.J. Stroud. No.
That's what I'm saying. Like, nothing good, you know what I mean? I mean, this year, a little different, you know, Stroud, Anthony Richardson looks like he has promise, you know, but I mean, outside of that, man, I mean, if we didn't make some of those moves, man, in this league, a couple missed opportunities like that, and you are a bottom dweller yet again. So,
I think it's been a remarkable job by Brad Holmes, but also Dan Campbell, Chris Spielman in the front office. They've done a really good job.
Yeah, Spielman's doing amazing.
Of just getting this thing on track to be a contender. I mean, you're not just built for this year. You're built for the next couple years.
Well, it's healthy, because look what Sheila's doing. She's getting Calvin back in the building. She's getting she's getting guys like Glover Quinn around and talking with players again. You're getting guys – Barry Sanders, Chris Spielman. I mean, you're getting legends and people that have this kind of, this Lion family blood, man. And we're getting everybody involved again because Sheila decided to, that she's going to make a, make a real effort at this and be a really strong, good owner. I don't necessarily think, regardless of what people say, I don't necessarily think Martha was a terrible owner on purpose or anything. She just wasn't as involved and knowledgeable about the game. Sheila seems to be a lot more passionate and knowledgeable and willing to learn and wanting to get better, and it's really refreshing.
Yeah, it's been great to have an owner that kind of really wants to learn and doesn't want to lose. You know, that's the main thing. Like, you can have an owner that wants to win, but, you know, do they have what it takes to, you know, you see a lot of owners get too arrogant. Like I think you see that with Dallas. I think you see that with Indianapolis.
Yeah, where, say, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
don't even get me started, man. Jeez.
Well, here you know it's kind of a happy medium. Like if your owner is, you know, willing to go into the back burner and let the guys who do the job be able to cook, that's where you're gonna go. So yeah. It's gonna be an interesting thing. So I think that's what I like about this whole situation. Now, if you're betting tomorrow, I have something for you. I'm going to put this out as a whole graphic to itself, but if you're betting tomorrow, this is the over-unders, and this is how many they've hit a lot of those. So usually, I think it's 6 to 10 over. So they've hit 6 of the 10 at rush, you know, for their over-under. So St. Brown was at 81.5. Laporta's at 46.5. They both hit that enough times this year. Josh Reynolds at 21.5. Raymond at 14.5. Those are pretty damn good numbers for those guys because Raymond, I mean, he can get 2 receptions to get 20 yards. I mean, that's just what he does. Jameson Williams, it's 21.5. That's a risky number. But
I like that, dude. I like that.
If you think he's going to get a deep shot, that's a good number because it's actually at a good, good
spot. Well, if you get something like that in before they announce, like Jaire Alexander being out, that's and he ends up being out, that can be huge.
And obviously, you have Gibbs, 27.5. I mean, you gotta put into account that you know he really didn't take off until recently. Yeah. If you're looking at Montgomery rushing yards, 67.5, he's hit that a lot. I think it's 7 out of 9 times. Gibbs is at 47.5. If you want to be a safe alternate rushing yards, 25 plus. Obviously, Goff, 255.5. He's hit it 5 out of 10 times, so that's yellow. And then the team total is 27.5. They've hit that 5 out of 10 times, so if you really want to get risky, you can do that as well. But I like to put it out there because I know people like to gamble a little bit, especially on Thanksgiving. It's, you know, maybe make you some Thanksgiving money. So
yeah, argue with your drunk uncle and throw a couple parlays together and let's go.
Yeah, yes, yeah, just so you can rub it in someone's face. Look, I made fucking $400 today because you're bitch ass. But that brings me to my parlay today. I'm interested to hear what you have to say, Tyler, because absolutely. I know you dabble in it. So my parlay today is 225 plus passing yards for Jared Goff. Amon-Ra St. Brown over 83.5, but it changed to 81.5 as I made the bet, as I was making this. Sam Laporta over 44.5 yards. Dave Montgomery over 69.5 yards. Jared Goff 2+ touchdowns, and Reynolds over 19.5 receiving yards because it changed to 19.5 as I was making this. Because if you look at this, it was 21.5 and it changed to 19.5.
Yeah. I like everything on there. There's one suggestion I may have, depending on if the odds change much or they get better or worse. Laporta, to me, has just not been hitting his stride as much lately, which means he could either be due for a game or it could continue to kind of go that way. I think we've been taking a lot more shots to our receivers versus our tight end over the middle. And like I said, the last couple of games, he just hasn't been where I wanted him to be as my fantasy tight end. And in the last 3 games, he's kind of had some stinkers. So what I would suggest if anyone's looking, if they're worried about maybe the Laporta over, is just replacing the Laporta over yards with the Lions -7.5.
I mean, that'd be good. Even if you took Sam Porter, put 25 plus yards. Yeah. I mean, I think he'd hit that.
He started off season so hot and, you know, he just kind of hit a cold streak. And I'm curious if the game plan is changing a little bit now that we got J-Mo and Jameer a little bit more involved. There's just not enough, you know, targets to go around.
I think Sam Porter's going to have a game tomorrow. I really do.
He needs one to get on track.
I just get that feeling that they're going to do a play action, and he's going to hit one down the field. That's my feeling. But I'm going to make a couple parlays and see where we're at, and then that'll be good.
Yep. So yeah, I hope he kicks it up, man. Like I said, he's my fantasy tight end, and I'm the first seed right now, and Joe Burrow just went down for the year.
See, you're lucky because I mean, you want to be me, okay? I have Joe Burrow, I have Nick Chubb, Mark Andrews.
Jeez, dude. So, well, I made a trade. So I traded Khalil Herbert and Odell Beckham for Josh Dobbs.
Not bad.
So, not bad. I wouldn't have probably done it unless I absolutely needed it. But yeah, Burrow out for the year, and Josh Dobbs has been putting up some pretty nice numbers fantasy wise. So hey, man, this is I'm the commissioner in this league. This is my 7th year doing it, and ironically enough, I've only been the playoffs 2 times out of the 7 years, or 3 times, and I've never made it out of the first round in my own damn league. So this is my time, baby. First seed, we're gonna try to ride this out like the Lions and make our way to the Super Bowl and get us a dub.
So here's the thing. I know you're pressed for time. How much time you got left?
Well, I'll probably dip out here in a little while. I got some family coming up for the holidays.
So. Yeah, I know. So you want to go 5 minutes and then I'll take over for the rest?
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, because I want to get your score prediction. What's your score prediction for tomorrow?
Yeah, so I'm thinking, you know, if we go along the lines of a blowout, I mean, I'm thinking it'd be something kind of like, I'm hoping for like a 35-21. Maybe like a 35-17. I'll say 35-21. Or not 35. 34.
Okay.
We'll get a field goal. We'll get a couple field goals in there. I don't know. We don't like to kick field goals, but I'm feeling a little field goal-y. So we'll say 34/35-21. I think we get some good touchdown. You know, we put some points on the board. We kind of stay aggressive. And this is more of a what I want to happen versus like necessarily a prediction, but I think they can kind of go hand in hand. Like you said earlier, we need to have an A game. We need to shove it in their throats. It's our division rival. It's at home. It's Thanksgiving. Like, the setting and the mood is just right for us to just have an offensive explosion. If this were a game where, you know, we could fuck around and score 40 or 50, this would be the game to do it. So let's do it. You know what I mean? Like, it would be cool to flex on our division rival that has taken over our division for the past 30 years with Favre and Rodgers at the helm. So to get a little bit of revenge and just smack the shit out of these boys, man, would be awesome. I'd love it. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with that. I think personally, I think we get J-Mo more involved a little bit again. I think he might get another deep shot or two. And I just look for Goff to get right back on track and to reset and come into this game confident and, be able to put some points on the board. And I just want to see this team steamroll the Packers, man. Being, 9-2 for the first time maybe ever. I don't know. I'd have to look.
You have to go back a long time. 8-2
for the first time since 62, so I'd have to imagine 9-2 is probably sometime in the 50s when we won our last
So. Man, it's crazy because that's even a stat. It's crazy that how
– we're watching something historical, man.
How well they've been doing. It's crazy that they can go and beat the shit out of the Packers. That'd be on Thanksgiving because we've suffered some pretty stupid defeats from the Packers, so – to give it back would be great. And the one thing I look at with tomorrow's game, like we were talking earlier in the podcast, I know this is like a bar heavy night, and so is Tyler going to the bar. But we talked about it earlier with the defensive stats. Like if you look at the rushing yards, you could easily take advantage of the Green Bay Packers on the ground because they're giving them 134.7. That's 28th in the league.
And so what's our rushing offense per game?
Well, your rushing offense per game is 136.6 per game.
So, fifth in the league going against the almost dead last in the league.
But
so
you got to factor in. Yeah. You got to factor in one thing. You've went against the top 4 defenses in rushing defense.
That's awesome.
So when you have a rushing offense that still gets 136.6 yards per game, I mean, you went against the Chiefs. I mean, I know there was no Chris Jones, but you still – that. Chris Jones is one part of that wheel.
Who the hell's getting more yards per game than us, the Eagles?
I think it might be the Eagles.
Dude, 410 a game and we're second. Like,
yeah, it's crazy. Like, there's so much that. Yeah, I think the Eagles are total yards. Yeah, we're second in total yards. So it's crazy. There's some good offenses in the NFL right now. So it's just
absolutely.
Let me check who is number one. I guarantee you it's something stupid.
Yeah, man, it's just, like I said, it's so exciting and to see something like this so late into the season, man, it shows how much we're building something special. And if we can just keep this riding out, man, I mean, dude, with our opponents remaining of the year, I mean, we may not lose again. I mean, that would be huge.
Yeah, I mean, you got a couple tough games coming up. You got to go to Dallas.
If we were about a 14-2 season, oh my god!
All right, so
what? 15?
So you got the Dolphins in front of you.
Okay, that makes sense.
Dallas. I that graphic got screwed up somehow. I don't know how it got screwed up, but they're fourth, fifth. So, but Dallas has played an easy schedule. They've made their living off beating like shitty teams. Right. Yeah, Miami's played shitty teams. I mean, they're going to get to play the Jets this week, who has Tim Boyle starting at quarterback. I mean, you know, how pissed would you be if you were Amazon? You paid $100 million for that game, and the quarterback that the Jets bring out is Tim freaking Boyle. Like, I would be – if I was Jeff Bezos, I'd be ripping this yacht to New York and saying, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, it's tough, man. But, hey, what can you do? What's going to be crazy is when Aaron Rodgers comes back in 2-3 weeks and this motherfucker plays. That's going to be crazy.
If he did that, first of all, Aaron Rodgers, I don't even think he could survive behind that offensive line. If we're going to be totally honest, I mean, like, Tim Boyle is not a mobile quarterback, okay? Zach Wilson's more mobile than Tim Boyle. So, I don't want to.
It's crazy he got pushed down to QB3, bro. It's like, damn, bro. Like,
they really said, "Screw you, Zach. You're just an idiot." So
you're done. You're done.
I was like, when they pushed him down to third quarterback, I was like, man, that's
harsh.
That's pretty
after harsh. Doubling down for 8 or 10 weeks about he's our guy, he's our guy, QB1, he's our guy, he's our guy, he's our guy.
Well, if you remember right, I mean, this is why if you're a Detroit Lions fan, you got to take homage and having a quarterback, because there is a lot of bad quarterbacks in this league right now. Let's just think about it. Like, you got quarterbacks starting for the New York Giants who like Tommy DeVito. Oof. You got Zach Wilson in New York. Oof. You don't know who you're starting if you're Atlanta Falcons, and you got a good team and you're going between Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke. Oof.
Yeah, man, it's tough, dude. Yeah. You got Dorian Thompson Robinson starting in Cleveland.
I mean, I have high hopes for him, but
I mean, I do too, but you don't really necessarily want to throw a fifth round rookie into the freaking mix that, you know.
Well, yeah, and you're in a playoff race.
You're a 7-3.
But the only thing that he has to do, if I was the coach of Cleveland, I'd be like, listen, the only thing you got to do is not turn a ball over.
Dude, they've been playing without Deshaun Watson and Nick Chubb, and they've got a 7-3 record. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, if you lose Nick Chubb, you lose Deshaun Watson. He hasn't played a majority of the year, so you're basically saying, like, okay, it's going to be all good.
That contract will go down as the worst contract and trade ever. That trade and contract was
– yeah, because I believe if I remember right, I think Cleveland still has a first-round – I mean, Houston still has a first-round pick from Cleveland.
Yep, next year, yep.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, like – you better hope it's not. You better hope
it's not. All the owners were so damn mad because they gave Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed deal after basically being suspended almost a whole year and all this shit going on. And the owner just said, we'll give him a fully guaranteed $230 million deal. And now all the other owners are looking around like, oh shit, I got to give my guy $230 million now. And Watson didn't even really deserve that. So now I got to fork out $300 million if I want to. Joe Burrow's going to get like half a billy. Like, what's going on, man? This sucks. Thanks a lot, asshole.
It's funny you mention that, because if you were like the Bengals owner, or you were a owner of like the Buffalo Bills, I think the Bills paid great. But if you had to pay a quarterback that you know is good, like Allen or Burrow or Herbert, you're like, dude, I'm gonna have to give him the freaking naming rights to the fucking stadium, right? What the hell.
But I'm really excited about tomorrow, man. I appreciate my family just got here a few minutes ago, so I'm going to roll out. But I appreciate you guys. Go Lions. Love seeing you guys. Knock out the rest of the show, Joe. Kick some ass, man. And I will see you guys on the next pod, and we hopefully will have a Lions W.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man.
All right. Have fun at the bar, bro.
Oh, yeah. See you, brother.
All right. Bye. All right. So I'm all alone now, so we are going to go through – we're just going to quickly go through what I was talking about earlier about the Detroit Lions and this matchup with the Green Bay Packers. So let's go over it. Defensive stats. You look at the defensive stats, you look at the Green Bay Packers, 16th in total yards, 342 yards. They are giving up a game. The Detroit Lions are giving up 332.4 a game. They are 10th in the league. You look at the rushing yards for the defensive stats for the Green Bay Packers. They're giving up 134.7 yards. That's 28th in the league. Detroit has a top-tier running game, so they can take advantage of that. You look at the other side of the ball for Lions, they don't allow teams to run. And I don't think the Green Bay Packers are going to run, because if you look at their injury report, you have Aaron Jones, who is out. You have A.J. Dillon, who is out. Those are two of the running backs. You look at the defensive side of the ball, again, passing yards for Detroit, 16th in the NFL, 223.5, versus a passing attack. When teams attack the Green Bay Packers, it's 7th in the league, 193 yards, 0.2. And then you look at the points per game, it's not much. There's not much of a subtle difference. 20.2, which is 10th in the league for the Green Bay Packers, 22.9, which is 22nd in the league. That tells you the disparity and the difference of points that can be that are getting shown in the NFL right now. You go to the offensive side of the ball for these two teams. You got the Lions capping at 410.9. In total yards, 336 for the Green Bay Packers. The key takeaway is they can't run the ball. They're a low output total yards team. They don't score a lot of points, 20.2 to 27.2 for the Detroit Lions. They're pretty good at third down, but again, they're not good at going down the field and making plays. You look at another thing. Goff against the Packers, 1,300 yards. 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 96.7 passer rating. And his over-under for tomorrow is 255.5. And I talked to you about the Packers' rushing defense. Well, the rushing defense for the Packers is going to take a really hard duo to stop with the Detroit Lions. You look at the last two games for the Detroit Lions, 46 attempts, 305 yards, and 5 touchdowns between David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. We go back to the defensive stats. They're giving 134.7 yards per game. This is a great chance for the Detroit Lions to take advantage of a bad Green Bay Packers rushing defense. Now, you're asking me, what's the injury report for the Lions? Well, it's simple. Obviously, we know Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's out. We obviously know that James Houston is out, but Jonah Jackson is the only active player not on IR that is out for tomorrow. He's the only guy in the injury report, period, and that's pretty special. Me and Tyler talked about it. You know, when you look at this team and you look at Jared Goff and you look at this, this team has not played their best football to this point, but there's a chance that they could throw it together tomorrow, because there is no this Packers team isn't tough to beat. Obviously, we know that they can play some pretty good ball in the defensive style with the 20.2 yards per game, but they can get gashed in the run game. So if you're a Detroit Lions fan, you gotta love the over and unders for tomorrow. So you asked me, what are the over unders, Joe? So the over unders for tomorrow, Montgomery is 67.5. I put that as a green because he has hit that a majority of the time. Gibbs, 47.9. He's kind of mid-tier, but just remember, he didn't get the heavy workload until about week 4, week 5 when he got back from injury. Goff, 255.5 yards. That is in his over-under tomorrow, and he has hit it 5 out of 10 times. So if you are betting tomorrow, keep that in mind. I'll post this on the page so you can have that for tomorrow. St. Brown, 81.5. That's his receiving yards for over-under. He's gone over a majority of the time. Laporta, 46.5. He's gone over that as well. Reynolds is at 19.5. It says 21.5, but he's gone over he's cleared 21.5. I'm pretty sure he cleared 19.5 as well. Raymond, 14.5. He is a green as well. So if you're putting a parlay together, take three of those guys, put them together with Montgomery, and you got a good day to go. Obviously, Gibbs, his receiving yards for tomorrow, it's 27.5. He's been kind of hit or miss on there, but it could be a good job. It could be a good value play right there. If you really want to get around it, play receptions instead of yards. Now, Williams, J-Mo, if you're a believer in J-Mo, if you think that he can hit a long, deep pass, 21.5 is his over-under. And the team total for the Detroit Lions tomorrow is 27.5. So if you are asking me, what would I do? I like St. Brown. I like Sam Laporta. I definitely like David Montgomery. And if you were to play some alternate rushing yards with Jahmyr Gibbs, maybe put 25, that could boost your profile. Now, my parlay of the day, Goff 225 passing yards, St. Brown over receiving yards 83.5, Sam Laporta over 44.5 yards, David Montgomery over 69.5 yards, Jared Goff plus 2+ passing TDs, and Reynolds over 19.5 receiving yards. $20 will win you $454 on FanDuel. I will post the link to this after the show, so you, if you want to bet on it, it's a free no sweat bet. So if you lose, you can play it for the games tomorrow, which is the Cowboys, Commanders, and Seahawks, and the 49ers. Now, we talked about the injury woes for the Green Bay Packers. We all know that they have a little bit of injuries. Let's look at them right now. You look at the injuries for the Packers. Jaden Reed is out. Aaron Jones, one of their best running backs, is out. Darnell Savage, a key safety in that back end of the Packers defense, he is also out. Now, Jaire Alexander, that's a huge questionable, because he is one of their he's one of the best corners in the NFL. And for him to be questionable, that's a key there. Devondre Campbell, questionable. A.J. Dillon, another running back, questionable for the Green Bay Packers. Ruby Ford and Dontavian Hicks are also questionable. So tomorrow is a huge game for the Detroit Lions, because if they're trying to establish themselves as contenders, this is a game you need to take care of. Not only that, but keep this in mind. The Detroit Lions are in the hunt for the number one overall seed. If you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, they have a tough schedule coming up. So if you are the Detroit Lions, you're trying to keep, you know, yourself on track for the number one overall seed. Because as me and Tyler were talking, and we obviously got you guys, you know, coming in and giving us the comments, it's kind of been kind of a slow day, but I know a lot of people are going to the bar, so I'll podcast this, and then I'll put some videos out on the Facebook as well. But we said, you know, if you get home field advantage, no one's going to want to come here. It's a tough place to play. No one wants to come to Ford Field in a playoff game. No one wants to come with a well-rested Detroit Lions team as the number one overall seed. If you can win and you can get the number one overall seed, that is the goal right now. You are going to run away with this division. I have no doubt in my mind. The goal, next goal, is to get the number one overall seed, because you get that free week of rest. You're going to get the lowest seeded team to come to Ford Field. They're not going to want to come to Ford Field. And let's say you get the number one overall seed, you're going to be playing either the 49ers or the Eagles in the NFC Championship, but they have to travel to you. That's why home field is so huge for this Detroit Lions team. And they've got a couple games coming up where they should be able to take care of business, but they have to take care of the business tomorrow against the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, we know this isn't the same old Green Bay Packers. So this is a team that is kind of injured. Obviously, with no Aaron Jones, no A.J. Dillon, they're going to be going to try to pass the ball a ton tomorrow. So if you're looking at a parlay, I mean, Jordan Love might throw for 300 yards because he has to. They can't run the ball. So if you're going to the game tomorrow, have a lot of fun. Have fun with your family. Hopefully we see a big Detroit Lions W tomorrow. I'm your host, Joe Chapp, of the Detroit Lions News Podcast. I know we've had a lot of comments go in and out, but I know a lot of people are obviously going to the bar. They're going to have fun on their Thanksgiving, you know, 3-day weekend. And if you don't work Friday, you're going to have that 4-5-day weekend. So, look, we all know that Detroit has to take care of business. We'll see you in the next podcast as we do more Detroit Lions content. Obviously, today's a kind of a shorter one because of, you know, there's not many people watching, but I will put the videos up on the Facebook for people to watch on demand. But it's been great to the 9 listeners that are listening right now, 10 listeners. I appreciate you. We will see you in the next podcast, a Detroit Lions News podcast. If you miss this, I will put a podcast up of all of the just the stuff that I was talking about the, you know, over-unders and everything like that. I'll put my parlay of the day, and I'll also put the over-under gauge bet. So stick with me. Have a great Thanksgiving. If you're going to the bar right now, drive safe. Drive safe. Call an Uber. No one wants to hear of a dead family member. And we will see you guys in the next podcast. Thank you for watching. I'm your host, Show Chap, and we will see you in the next podcast. I'll probably see you tomorrow. So we'll see you in the next podcast. Thank you for watching, and go Lions.